Let's assemble ourselves for the worship. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. I don't know where everyone is this morning. Is there something going on I'm not aware of? Yeah. They're out on a golf course, late restaurants for breakfast. I got it. Yeah. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, that all that we do will be glorifying to Him in worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the church age, the bride of Christ, but we have a mission during this time frame. It's not to build a nation. It's not to build a physical temple. It's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to both unbelievers and believers. And Father, we just thank you for this assembly, the love of the Word of God that we have here. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, talking about being so few here this morning, we got Jim got a Christmas card from one of our tapers or listeners on the internet or whatever. And I hope Spring Valley Bible Church had a very good Christmas. I enjoyed listening to the teaching. Thank you for his ministry and things like that and other things I won't read about how wonderful the teaching is. But it's that kind of thing that does, okay, there are other voices out there, other people out there that are listening. Now this morning, in our 9:15 study, we studied how grace, the thing about grace is that it does not have to silence anti-grace people. You take the Muslims and a lot of these type of people, they have to kill and silence and get rid of anybody who doesn't agree with them. Grace doesn't have to do that. If you do not want eternal life, you want to burn forever, have at it. Go. If you don't want to do this, that's your business. Now, the unfortunate thing in the world today is that the world isn't leaving Christians alone just where we can worship and believe what we want to believe. Don't have that freedom anymore, or losing it more and more. But the thing about grace, it doesn't have to control. It's there. It is appealing in and of itself. If you don't want it, that's your business. If you don't want the Word of God as a believer, that's your business. It's just, this is the truth, and this is the appeal of it. And so I decided we're going to sing this morning a hymn that you know so well. But when I was teaching this morning in the 9:15 class, it just came to mind over and over while studying what I've just talked about. Amazing Grace, 165. So let's all stand and sing. James doesn't have his glasses, so I picked the song that he doesn't really have to see to be able to read.
At one time I had the words memorized. That's why I picked that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was raised at
Oh,
think about that. 10,000 years. That's a long time. And it's nothing compared to all eternity future. But God will make it wonderful. Okay. Got several things we need to talk about. First of all, Kit is very sick. He's been sick for about 3 weeks. And went to the doctor Monday, and the doctor gave him some things and said, if this doesn't get whatever you're going through, you've got to have to come back Monday. And he is not doing any better. Talked to him yesterday afternoon. He is not doing any better. So please be in prayer for Kit, that the doctor can find out whatever it is going on, and that he can get well and get back to work and also back to church and worship with us. So please bear that in mind. Yes.
Is it like
I don't know. I don't know. He just Kit doesn't tell you a whole lot. Unless it's about Zephaniah. he'll tell you all about Zephaniah. But if it's about Kit, he won't tell you very much. But please be in prayer for Kit. Now, it's amazing that I keep hardly any friends, but today is a special day for Jim Langston. It's his birthday. So happy birthday, Jim. Yay! I used to, when my mother was alive, I had more fun calling her. First time was the best time, of course. I'd say, now, Mom, I want to know what you were doing 29 years and 9 months ago tonight. She said, you're nasty. And so... But so happy birthday. Glad to have you. Let's see, as far as the prayer is concerned, be in prayer for Kit and Judith's brother Ronnie. I saw him last night. He's looking good. Just please be in prayer that the stem cell continues to take. And how's Thomas doing?
He's doing great.
Good.
Yeah, he's hopefully driving safely home from Austin today.
Good.
Went to
all right. Well, going to traitor's country, man. What's wrong with you? We prayed through so we can go down to Texas. that's good. Now, let me ask you, let me just word it this way. Will he ever reach a point that he's okay? Yeah.
I was just thinking about this, so he's been cancer free. Is what most of his issues are is his secondary issues from like the graft-versus-host disease at those lungs. The lungs are, he just was battling some lung issues this last few weeks.
Okay.
The infection that led into his lungs. So that is always going to be a little bit of battle with the lungs.
All right. What happens after 5 years? Okay. After the 5 year period.
Yeah, and they did those tests, and he's still 100% donor cells, which is what we always want to see. If any of his original cells come back, they're going to be not, they won't be any good.
Yeah.
It wasn't the cancer, it was the bone marrow going to see that he had. He never created, right? He didn't create regular cells.
And 5 years is for all cancer.
Yeah, all cancer. So that's why they say that.
Okay.
Okay,
so you know how to pray for Thomas? And then how to pray for Judith's brother Ronnie. And now he had completely his own cells, is that correct?
Yeah, they used his stem
cells. They used his own stem cells to get it back.
That's a little bit better.
Yeah. So just pray that it continues to take and all of that, and be in prayer for her son in law, Dennis. And let's see. Also, any other in the house issues? Yes. Okay. Tell her getting mad at boys will do that to her.
It's funny because it never happens when she's like doing stuff. It's just like when she's sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. That surprised me when I went through mine that that's more dangerous times when you're sleeping and in the early morning. I thought that'd be the best time, not doing anything. They said, no, that's one of the most dangerous times. So, All right, well, keep us posted, and let's be in prayer for Mackenzie. Yes?
Just keep Lila in prayer. Her sister passed away, and she's now at her family. So just keep
praying. All right, be in prayer for Lila. Any other, and yes?
So some of you might remember Jonathan Majette. He was at the camp with us for years. He struggled trying to figure out which way life was going to take him.
Yeah.
And he just graduated from Navy boot camp on Friday.
Wow, outstanding. Very good.
About 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I think. But they sent some pictures from boot camp, and man, he looks great.
Now, what would he be doing in this 6 to 8 weeks period before he reports?
They teach him some basic seamanship and things that how to work and the things that he's doing on board.
Okay, that he didn't get in basic. Okay, good. Let's be in prayer, please. Good. Keep us posted. All right. Have you heard any more of Fassel? Okay. Okay. Talked to Dan and Pat last night. They're leaving for Liberia today. So just be in prayer as they travel. And when he gets over there, anyone that is coming in on the mission field area has to take out $1 million life insurance policy on each person. And that would take care of anything were to come up. They'd be able to get them back here. And, all of that, and he has to take his blood and temperature once a week, and how long that'll go on, he doesn't know, but they've got to keep doing these kind of precautions. So please be in prayer for Dan and Pat as they travel. Yes? Yes, they do, but it's just so minimal now.
Okay.
So, but he said the whole area has been in such a trauma that he's hoping they will listen to the truth a little more attentively. Something will get their attention. And it's gotten their attention, so I'm hoping to do it.
Pray for my dad. He's got emphysema, and he's 75, and they've got him on oxygen now.
Oh, wow.
And so he may, I don't know how far into it he is, but it's probably not good, his prognosis.
We'll definitely be in prayer. Is he in the hospital here still?
No, he's at home.
He's at home. Okay. All right. Thank you. Keep us posted on that, please. We'll definitely continue to be in prayer. Years ago, I met Tom and Melinda Lene, and they came. They were here with for a big Herbalife thing and came to church and just fell in love with the Word and have been listening to all of our lessons. And Melinda is... She has several healing problems, medical issues, and so just be in prayer for Melinda Lene and her husband Tom and the family. And I remember one time I went, and so Tom and Melinda and I went to one of their little girls' basketball games. It was my first little girls' basketball team to ever or game to ever watch. Now I've been to a lot, but. But it was so cute. Bless her heart. She got the ball. She ran down and scored the wrong end. And the other team got 2 points. And she was feeling so bad. So we had to get her some extra ice cream to take care of that. And please be in prayer for Tom and Melinda Lene. And at this time, let's see. Okay. Also, gosh, how many months ago has it been since we worked on that ultrasound?
That was in the summer.
That's what I thought. Okay, it still has not arrived. Now, talked to John Hintz this morning. He called before the 9:15 class here, and he said he just talked to Bill, and Courtney, Dr. Courtney, was in Homosita, large city in central Mexico. And she just went to the offices and asked, how do you get these machines in the country? We cannot get it in. And so that doctor took her to a head of an insurance company, introduced her, and he sat down with her, and he said, you've got letters from the president, you've got letters from other government officials, they don't mean a thing. All that and this is what he told them. All that matters is who's at the booth when you're crossing the border. And he said, sometime you could come across and they just gone through. Other times they want to look inside your sandwich that you're eating. And he said, it's that type of deal. So they've set up Friday evening to try to bring it across. Please be in prayer. It's going to be, I told O'Brien Sinclair that, and he said, oh, it's going to be exciting there. See what happens Friday. So please be in prayer for an espionage work by God on Friday evening that we can get this horrible ultrasound from one country to another and start saving some people's lives and helping Courtney and her medical profession there. So please be in prayer Friday night. I'll try to find out before next Sunday morning what transpired. I hope it doesn't throw them all in jail, but just one of those things. And like John said, he said, Irma, they found out they'll be driving, you're coming in, there's a long line. The police will just do this to about four or five cars. Then the next one, stop them and look at everything. So hopefully there'll be one of those that they just say, come on through, come on through. So... You know what? If we contact the cartel and offer them some stuff, we'd get it across. And so tell the cartel all yours gets free. So, but please be in prayer for Friday night that this can get across and finally get this thing working down there. I can't believe it just has not been used and people are hurting in Mexico. But that's the way their government is and so that's the way that is. Freedom is really wonderful, even though we're losing it in this country. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, any other issues? Yes. Roger Turner, right? Be in prayer for Roger, and just God knows. So I love the power prayer of this group. Y'all have prayed Thomas through, Tish through, and Ronnie through, and Dennis through. So, and you've helped Leslie on some tests, and so just continue to be in prayer and on these issues. And communion's next week. All right, today's what, 25th? Yeah. All right, next Sunday is communion. And so remember that, and then after we have the service, we'll have fellowship time together. And I don't think it's very spiritual. Tish calls it gossip hour, but I call it fellowship time, and just talk and enjoy each other. And so that'll be our one time a month to do that. So please be ready for that next Sunday morning. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and knows how to be filled, led, and guided by the Holy Spirit in regard to their life, their time, and their finances. With these issues in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. The church, Heavenly Father, was brought into history to form the bride of Christ, to form the body of Christ, and to tell others of Jesus Christ around the world. And Father, we thank you so much for all the opportunities you've given us here. Our internet access, our young people's wonderful access that you've given to us in so many different ways with the young people. And right here, Heavenly Father, in our own assembly, the fellowship, the study of the Word of God. And Father, therefore, we pray that you will receive the offerings that we're now about to give, and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. good. Does anyone not have Jesus Christ now describes the middle of the tribulation? The handout, does anyone not have it? You will need it. All right, there's one there. Okay. Everyone have one? Okay. We have enough for, you don't need one for husband and wife, because we have enough now for husband, wife, children, friends, neighbors. So, James and I are both the same. We don't want to just waste the paper and the print ink, but well, we sure would hate to have more people than we had the handouts, so we always have a little few over. And okay, what we're doing now, we're moving into the middle half of the tribulation. In verses 1 through 14, Jesus Christ has primarily dealt with the first beginning, first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now he's going to move in his teaching. So we're studying the teaching of our Savior. This ought to be important to us. So let's begin with the word of prayer, and the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the importance of these things and to our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God that reveals to us the past, even eternity past, the present, and the future, including eternity future. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in your Word and have it impact our lives in telling others of Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 24:15. Therefore, now this is Jesus Christ teaching, and the disciples have asked him, and he's now answering their question, but it's going to deal with the tribulation. Therefore, when you see, now he's not saying you, the disciples, he's saying Jews that are alive during the tribulation, the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel, the prophet, I hope all of you know Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, in some warnings, it is what you hear. Hear the sound of the trumpet. But now it is what you see. And on Wednesday night, we're studying the... We studied so many aspects of the Holy Spirit that I've taken a few extra hours in regard to the removal of the veil in the temple. And we're looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit, and so that took us to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and we've looked at the feast of Israel, why that is significant. And what is interesting is that the coming of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that will happen is that they will hear a sound like blowing wind. It isn't blowing, but it will fill the whole house. And then they will see tongues like fire, not fire, but tongues like fire that will settle on each person, showing the individuality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So that's what they were looking for. Very interesting, in case you've ever wondered, about baptism. We're going to learn some things about baptism on this Wednesday night study. Because Christ said, or John said, Christ will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We're looking at that. It's called baptism, and I'm sorry, Baptist, no water's involved. But it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have to find out, technically, historically, in reality, what is baptism? Because it will happen that morning, but there's no water involved. So we're going to take a look at that. All right, that was all commercial. Now back to our study. In some warnings, it is what you hear. Hear the sound of the trumpet, but now it's what you see. Two things are interesting about this verb by Jesus Christ. When you see. One, it is not in the future tense, but it's in the aorist active subjunctive tense. Now, I don't bore you, strain you with a lot of the technicalities of the language, but this is important. It's an aorist active subjunctive. The aorist tense notes a specific time, but it's not like future, it just... This happened. That's what the aorist tense does. This happened. And so this is a historical fact. And then secondly, is the verb Jesus Christ uses is obsolete, but a rich word denoting seeing. And what this word means is to see with understanding. Some Greek words mean to simply see, but our Greek word means to see and to understand the significance of what you see. So this is a rich word that Christ is using. And they know about this from their knowledge of Daniel. It cannot be overstated how much is gained by knowledge of the Word of God. The knowledge of, the believing of, and the living of the Word of God is to our daily lives. My grandson is studying in school class. It's a Christian school, in quotes. And the question that they're studying right now, he told me, why we should believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. And I picked him up that day that it just was starting. And so I said, okay, Dalton, why should we believe? And he kind of sat there and he said, well, we hadn't really studied the answer. And I said, how about this? Because the Bible tells me so. He said, I was going to say that. Because I knew that's what you were going to say. But people, that's it. We cannot prove it. You cannot prove Jesus is the Son of God. You cannot prove He died for the sins of the world on the cross. That's by faith. That's what it's a matter of. We believe it because the Word of God tells me so. If Christians just knew and believed and lived the Word of God, things would be so much different in the body of Christ. Jesus makes reference to the fact that this was spoken of by Daniel. The abomination of desolation, or the abomination that causes desolation. The phrase means to an act of abomination that causes desolation or renders abomination, in this case, to the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Something will be set up that will cause the temple, the Holy of Holies, to be abominable, be desolate. And that's going to be the setting up of this statue. In Daniel 9, 24 through 27, which we've studied, one thing I was talking to Judith, I know we spent a lot of time on Daniel, but I erred in one point. When we finished, we should have taken an hour or maybe two and just gone through all the chapters so that we could do it. When you do things like we did over what was it, a year and a half? I know, don't tell me. And you lose that. But if you just study it quickly, it says, okay. Then you go back to the detailed notes to fill in all the blanks. But I didn't do that. But anyway, Daniel in 24 through 27 describes Daniel's 70th week, where in verse 27 he speaks of the very same thing and time that Jesus Christ is speaking of in Matthew 24:15. Daniel 9:27, and he, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist, will make a covenant with the many. Those are the Jews who do not believe. They've fallen away. We studied those 2 weeks ago. For 1 week, that is 1 week of years, that's 7 years. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, what all of this is saying is, this dictator, when he comes into office, after the church is removed off the earth, because the church is not part of the history of Israel, the last 7 years called tribulation, or the last 7 years of the 490 years promised to Israel, church has no part of that, take them out. Then at the beginning, all the nations already hate Israel. Now this morning, and if you're interested, can you get this, James, on the internet, the history sheet? Not yet. Alright. We studied historical fact sheet about Israel, Jerusalem, and Islam. And the thing is, on that, They don't care about the Bible. You cannot tell even a Gentile, much less a Muslim, about the Bible. Well, the Bible says God has chosen Jerusalem. God, they don't care. So this just deals with historical facts throughout history about the Israel, Jerusalem, the Jews, Muslims, all these things. And these are just historical facts. They're not argued to be debated. They're just facts. And that's the importance of that kind of study. So here, in the middle of the beginning of the tribulation, the world is going to hate the Jews, hate Israel. And as a matter of fact, the man that worked all of these up, he pointed out that, out of 175 United Nations Security Council resolutions up to 1990, and the UN was formed in 1945, up to 1990, 175 United Nations Security Council resolutions, 97, over half, were against Israel. Through 690 General Assembly resolutions, 429 against Israel. So that kind of lets you know where things are. And this hatred of Israel is going to continue to grow. So at the beginning of the tribulation, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist, the beast, will make a covenant with Israel. We will protect you. That will go on for about 3.5 years, just long enough to let foolish Israel lay down all their weapons. That comes out in another study. They will lay down all their weapons. Then, in the middle of the tribulation, like most political leaders, I don't want to do that anymore. But not only does he break the covenant, he now moves in to Israel and stops their religious worship. He has that kind of power. Why? Because of what we saw last week. It's a period of unbelievable lawlessness. And that lawlessness gives him that power. Okay, so he will come in, he will cut out the worship, and a worship of Jehovah Elohim, Yahshua, and he will set up an abomination, a statue of himself, in the Holy of Holies. He was to be worshipped as God. So that's what verse 27 is about. Now, and he, dictator of the revived Roman Empire, will make a firm covenant, a treaty, with the many. Excuse me. This is a reference to those Jews we have been studying in Matthew 24 who fall away. These either do not know or do not believe prophecy taught in their scriptures, their own scriptures. For 1 week, this covenant is made at the beginning of the tribulation, whereby the revived Roman Empire would protect Israel. And now we know more on why. Because Jesus Christ prophesied that all nations will hate the Jews. They're going to need protection. But in the middle of the week, in the middle of the 7-year period, that is the 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifices and grain offering. Not only does he break the covenant, he's going to put a stop to their worship. Remember, he is also known as the Lawless One. And lawlessness is multiplying everywhere, which follows him, which allows him to come into Jerusalem and do as he pleases. Okay, then it continues. And on the wing of abominations, this is the statue of abomination of desolation, a statue of himself to be worshipped in the temple, will come one who makes desolate. That is, he will make the temple in Jerusalem desolate. Now, the temple in Jerusalem is made with man's hands. It's not the temple of Christ. It's a temple that they will make rather hastily. We study this in Revelation. They will make it very quickly. It doesn't take long today to put up a temple, a building. And that's what they'll do. Now, we don't know for sure, but I suspect it's after the rapture. They will immediately start doing this. And that's when they'll go back to... Yes. Everything's in place. They're now... practicing the sacrifice of animals. They're making the very beautiful instruments to be used in the temple. They're doing all these type of things. When Judith and I were over, we went into a little shop where they're actually doing this. They're making these things for when it's all reinstituted. So they look forward to it being reinstituted. They know it's going to be. They don't know when. They know it's going to be. You and I know when. Okay. Even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed and poured out, makes desolate. Now, this time, it would be set up by Antiochus. Daniel also prophesied that this would occur some 400 years after he wrote. So he prophesied it will happen twice. 400 years after he wrote, and then in the middle of the tribulation. Daniel 11:31, it will be done by Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria, and we studied all of that in Daniel 11. As we studied the phrase in Daniel, and now Matthew 24, note the chronology of events. I just like to stop and pause to be sure we're all on the same footing here. One, beginning of the tribulation, and one should be the rapture of the church, but the church is not involved in Israel. So, beginning of the tribulation, the covenant with the dictator of the revived Roman Empire will be made for the protection of Israel. Point two, events that will take place in the middle of the tribulation or 3.5 years later, that's what Jesus Christ is talking about in our study this morning in Matthew 24:15. The dictator will break the covenant, Daniel 9:27. It will stop all sacrifices and worship of the Messiah. He will set up the abomination that causes desolation, Daniel 9:27 and Matthew 24:15. Thirdly, Daniel also prophesies when this Antichrist will be destroyed. Daniel 12:11. 3.5 years later, at the end of the tribulation, and his own destruction will be by Jesus Christ when he returns to earth. Chronology of the events yet to take place in history, prophesied by Daniel, by Jesus Christ, Matthew 24, by Paul, 2 Thessalonians, and by John, Revelation 13, 14, and 15. People, that's how important this is to God. Daniel, Jesus Christ, Paul, and John. And by the way, others. If Kip were here, he'd get upset that I didn't mention Zephaniah. But others also. But I just wanted to point out, these are the ones we have studied. Okay, one, the abomination of desolation is the setting up of a statue in the temple to be worshipped in place of the true God. Scripture reference. This takes place in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, the quickly, hastily built by man temple. Regular worship by the Jews will be prohibited. Scripture references. Four, Daniel's 70th week is divided in two halves, 3.5 years on each side. From the making of the covenant to the setting up of the abomination that causes desolation is approximately 3.5 years. Then it will be another 3.5 years toward the end. However, in another passage, those 3.5 years will be cut short. If they're not cut short, the whole world would be in great trouble. So we'll study that later. Five, the setting up of the abomination that causes desolation is when the Antichrist sets up a statue of himself to be worshipped in place of God. Scripture reference. Six, what is interesting and deceiving to most is that this image will come to life. Revelation 13:14. That will cause many to worship him. Seven, after this coming alive, the worship of him as God, false God, will begin to intensify. Scripture reference. Eight, in the temple, he's going to put up an image of himself to be worshipped as God. It's just a statue. It will come to life. Satan will give it life. That will cause even more people to worship the false god. Yes, but he's not Satan. He is Satan's servant. Satan is the one who will cause the statue to become alive. Yes, it'll look like a human, but he will come alive, and that will freak out the whole world, and they will worship him and build up their hatred toward the true God. Good question. But that's Revelation 13, 14, and 15. That's Koine. Koine English. And just a parenthesis, a commercial, you can get Revelation 13, 14, and 15 on the internet. Okay. Huh? On tape. All right. Tape, disc, however you want it. Okay. Well, you can't get it in hard copy. James wasn't around when we did Revelation. Shame on you, James. All right. And then 8, while all this will cause a great distress or trouble to Jacob, that is to all Jews, the trouble to Jacob is a biblical phrase, this Antichrist will be destroyed at the end of Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 12:11. Now, going back to Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you Jews in Jerusalem in the middle of the tribulation see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Okay, what about that little phrase, let the reader understand? I loved one commentary. It was just a simple one. It was more devotional. And I love what he said. I don't understand this. And I thought that was pretty honest. But let's take a look at what it means. Jesus Christ actually said, the one reading, let him understand. The one, any Jew, reading. Reading what? That's the issue. The one reading. Reading what? The book of Daniel. That's what he's talking about. Let him understand. The Greek word means to observe with the mind, to perceive with the mind. Doesn't involve emotion. It means to understand what Daniel was writing and how it's related to your history. That's what it means. Let the reader, let the one reading, Daniel, let him understand what Daniel was talking about. So, this is talking about the Jews, especially those in Jerusalem at this time in history. It means to think long and hard about these words of Daniel, because what is written there is vital to your well-being, to your life. This day, you will see the abomination going up in the holy place of the temple. It means to pay attention to the Word of God as it relates to what's going on in history in your time. And that way it also applies to us. Americans have not paid attention to what's been happening to their freedoms. One of the most damaging presidents to constitutional America was Woodrow Wilson. And if you're a reader, I encourage you to read about Woodrow Wilson. He was one of the most anti-Constitution America in our history. During World War I said, peace without victory. Totally opposed to what Patrick Henry was talking about, is peace so dear? But this just starts part of the movement against what we stand for in our Constitution. Didn't happen overnight. It just... One president, and then after Franklin, and FDR, after Wilson, FDR, and all these things are happening. We're in the condition where we're in, not by any quick thing. It just slowly happened, and we didn't do anything about it. Here in Matthew, Jesus Christ is warning Jews as to the message of Daniel, but John was led to write to the seven churches in his warnings in Revelation. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's the same concept that Christ is talking about. Let the reader of Daniel understand. It's what the Holy Spirit is saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Ear? No, you don't listen for an audible sound. But it means to listen to what he said in those seven letters. And we, when we finished that, I do remember we went back through and just categorized what the Holy Spirit said. Because some people say the seven churches are the history of the church. I don't believe that. At any one time in church history, all seven churches existed right up to this very day. And therefore, we have to be aware of what he said to guard, be on guard. Be on guard for the love of Jesus Christ and don't let that go. What is that saying? Stay in the Holy Spirit. Don't let your love of the Word of God become sloppy where you listen to false teachers and all these kinds of things. Let the reader hear. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he says it seven times. But church history has not paid attention to what the Holy Spirit said to the churches. Now, if we understand Jesus' words here in Matthew 24:15, and relate it to Mark's words, we get an idea of what Jesus Christ is saying. Mark 13:14. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, that is in the holy and holies of the temple, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. If we combine the two passages, Jesus Christ is saying, study, understand Daniel, and when you see the abomination that makes the holy place desolate, be able to see what is going on and get out of Dodge. Get out of town. And I mean get out now. Get out now. We'll see that in a moment in our reading. So, Matthew 24:16-20. Jesus Christ tells the Jews in Jerusalem what to do when they see the abomination set up in the temple and are able to understand from Daniel what is going on. The command to flee when God, the Son of God, the God-man, the Savior, the Messiah, King, gives a command, it's wise to obey it. It's wisdom. Matthew 24:16-18. Those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down and get the things out of the house. I need to get this. I need to grab my guns. I need to grab some food. I need to grab some clothing. You don't grab anything. You come down, you're upstairs, you get out, get on the road, and get out of there. Verse 17, whoever's on the housetop must not go down and get the things out that are in the house. Whoever is in the field must not go back to get his cloak. You're out in the field working or traveling, you don't get to go home. You don't get to go secure your wife. You don't get to secure your family. You get on the road and get out. This is a command from Jesus Christ. Now the question, why this kind of urgency? You know, talking to Grady, he has a fatherly practice that a lot of you wouldn't like. But you don't live where he does. You don't live where a half a mile from his house police are gunned down. You don't live where they could come by and just start shooting. So he's got his children, all of them. When he says drop, you don't ask why, you drop. They listen. And that's the way we should be with the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God. Okay. Now, why the urgency? When the beast, the lawless one, the Antichrist, the beast, sets up the abomination that causes the rebuilt Jewish temple to become desolate, he breaks the covenant to protect Israel, and he immediately starts persecuting Israel. He turns from the protector to the persecutor. And people, that hurts. Ask any woman who married a man and he became her beater, beating her. This is not good. Ask a child when the parent starts beating you. These are people you trust to protect you. And the Jews were protecting, were trusting him. He's immediately going to become the persecutor. So, if they want to escape a violent death, they should listen to the words of Christ and the words of Daniel and get out of Jerusalem. This is nothing new to Jewish heritage. Matthew 2:13. Now when they, Joseph and Mary, had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, or the wise men left. Now, appeared to Joseph in a dream and said in the dream, get up, Joseph, take the child and his mother, your wife, flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. Well, let me talk to Mary about this and let's just have a family conversation. And he says, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Look at verse 14. Joseph got up, took the child and the child's mother, while it was still night. And he left there for Egypt. People, when God gives these kinds of things, study the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. These are things for your own safety. These are things for our safety. And so this kind of exhortation is not new to Jewish heritage. All right, Matthew 24:16. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Now, we've studied Petra. Seems to be the place for them to take refuge. In fact, when we studied Revelation, I brought a film of just Petra, and we saw it. It's just unbelievable. To me, it's unbelievable that it's not inhabited today. I mean, it's unbelievable. You got a very narrower than that wall to that wall, an entrance. Only one entrance. And it's narrower than that, which what? Means it's easy to guard, easy to protect. Just set you up a couple of high power weapons over here. Anybody that tries to get in, not going to get in. Okay? And then inside, it's just nothing but big, beautiful places carved out of stone. Carved out of stone, you can go back inside and be secure. So it seems to be Petra, but I'm not worried. Somebody wants to think it's Basra, somebody wants to think it's someplace else. Fine, we can still have a coke over it. As long as we both agree, God has this place. Okay, look at verse 17. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. We've all got things we want to take. Nope, you don't get to do that. Heaven, I need my traveling shoes. I need my traveling boots. I need this. No, whatever you got on, hit the road, Jack. That's it. All right? Time of emergency and intimate danger does not allow them to go and gather up a few things. Verse 18. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. If you're in the field, working or traveling, you don't get to go home and pack up a few things. You flee to the mountains. Verse 19. But woe to those who are pregnant. These are the ladies who are pregnant. To those who are nursing babies in these days. Do not take time to secure baby provisions. You don't get to do that. Hit the road. That's what it means. Verse 20. Now, if I were a Jew living at this time in the tribulation, and I knew Daniel, and I knew the words of Messiah, and I started seeing how these things are going, I'd say, honey, always carry some diapers on your back. Always carry this, because it could happen any moment. So, but anyway, verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 20, but pray, now this is interesting to me, pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. This is interesting. Jesus Christ tells them to pray. Now, he knows when it's going to occur, but he tells them to pray for emergency travel, not in the winter, nor on a Sabbath. Why not on a Sabbath? Because you're not going to get any help. Everything's closed down. Not going to get any gas. Going to get nothing. So, just pray. It's not in the dead of winter, and it's not on a Sabbath. So, to me, that is just amazing that you have a travel prayer here. Alright? One. Moving quickly is essential to in that the focus of the beast will not have time to organize and put up a block to all of this. If it happens that quickly, it'll take him some time to hear about it and then to organize. So get out before he has a chance to organize. Two, Jesus Christ says that it may be very difficult, but people, this is not going to be impossible. It is not going to be impossible. It may be difficult if you're pregnant. It may be difficult if you're nursing a child. But it's not impossible. Obey the Word of God. Now, miraculous provision. This is what I love about this. God has everything provided for. But what about food? I've got you covered. But what about covering? I got you covered. What about for water? I got you covered. What about things for my baby? I got you covered. What about? I got you covered. Trust me. You think I'd give this command if I didn't have everything taken care of? Matthew 24, Jesus Christ describes the difficulty of the journey. But God knew their difficulty in eternity past, and He's already made provision. This is your God, people. Revelation 12, 5 and 6 is your God. And she, Israel, gave birth to a son, our Savior Jesus Christ, a male child, the God-man, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron in the millennium. And her child, Jesus, was caught up to God to His throne. Death, burial, ascension, session of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6. Then the woman, Israel, fled to the wilderness. This is the event Jesus Christ describes in Matthew 24, 16 through 20. This is out of Revelation, where she, Israel, had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, last half of the millennium. I love the phrase, where she has a place prepared by God. People don't have to worry about anything. It's all taken care of. Let's just get out of here. When this happens, hon, hit the road. We'll get together wherever it is, whether it's Petra, Basra, or wherever it is. I'll find you. You hit the road. I'll hit the road wherever I am. God has everything prepared. People, that is marvelous. That God has it all prepared. End of verse 5. And her child was called up to God and to His throne. Beginning of verse 6. And the woman fled to the wilderness. Okay. Between 5 and 6, what's happened? An elapse of 2,000 years now. 2,000 years have elapsed between verse 5 and the child was caught up to God and to His throne. Acts chapter 1. Then verse 6, and the woman fled to the wilderness. That's in the tribulation. It's already been 2,000 years, and none of this has happened yet. That the church has nothing to do with the history of Israel. There's no replacement theology. There's none of this nonsense. The church has its own place and purpose. Israel had its. So between verses 5 and 6 has already elapsed some 2,000 years of church history. Now, what is the flow in Revelation from verses 5 to verse 6? Ascension of the Son, the fleeing woman. Now, since Satan failed in his plans to kill the baby at its birth, and then he was not able to kill Jesus, keep him dead, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he turns his attention against the woman. That is, Satan turns all attention against Israel. Why will the world hate the Jews? Satan hates the Jews. He can't touch Jesus. He missed out on getting Jesus, somebody in all of his people. If I can kill all the Jews, he can't keep his word to be king of the Jews. He is no longer God. So that's why the phrase, all nations will hate the Jews. And that's why when you read the paper, all these things, all of the resolutions against Israel, it's no surprise. Satan hates them. He's got to get rid of them. His nemesis, Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of God, where He wants to sit. That really made him mad. When God said to a human being, sit at my right hand, that really made Satan upset. There he is, a supernatural creature, and he's not even sitting there. So, this is why they hate. If you belong to Jesus Christ, by faith, I'm talking about even in the church age, in Jesus Christ, then you are the enemy of this dragon, the enemy Satan. And since Jesus Christ is now absent from the earth, Satan directs all attention toward you in the church age, the church, be it Jew or Gentile. He can just direct his attention. Don't be fooled about world history from American history. American history, because of the men and women who formed this country, writing the Constitution based on the 33% of it on the Bible, it was protected. But while it was being protected, Christianity was not being protected around the world. Nothing like it was here. But now that's gone. We don't have that protection any longer because they got rid of the Bible. He had to do that. Got to get rid of the Bible so you can have any kind of moral decisions you want. You can destroy the marriage between a woman and man. You can destroy the family. Do you know why he wants to destroy the family? So that the state can take care of your children. The children will become property of the state. Now, if the Lord lingers and the rapture doesn't occur soon, I don't think this will happen in my time, but I feel sorry for my grandchildren because this is what they're going to have to put up with. The state wants to rule and control your children, education, health, everything. So that's why they're trying to dismantle the family and get rid of the family so that they can run all the children. Now, okay, Revelation 12:6. We're in the middle of page 16. Revelation 12:6. Then the woman Israel fled into the wilderness. The woman fled. The heiress of Hilgal, which means to escape, to flee hastily from danger. It's out of a lexicon. This is the aorist tense, no concept of time. There is no past, perfect, or future, present or future. It's just an event. This is what's going to happen. She will have to flee. This is important because it reveals that there will be a number of Jewish believers in Jerusalem. That's encouraging. The fact that Christ has to say this, that John does in Revelation, tells me there's going to be some born-again believing Jews in Jerusalem in the middle of the tribulation. That is phenomenal. People, don't ever worry about who you witness to. You'll throw the seed out, and a lot of times it'll go down on hard ground. But every now and then, you'll find someone that says, I want that. I wish you could listen to the testimony of Brian St. Clair. He is just a blazing witness at work. I mean, somebody needed a pen. Oh, you need a pen? This is what happened. You need a pen? I have one here. Let me show you. Let me show you this pen. See this? It says, the road of salvation in Romans. And you can study this and read it. And he gave it to the guy. I mean, that's just amazing. And he's had several believe in Jesus Christ. So, this, don't ever worry about whether they're going to believe or not. That's not your call or my call. That's his call. That's their call, whether or not they want to respond. So, the word means to flee hastily from danger. Now, here is the importance of our Lord's words. Let the reader understand and then execute. Flee into the wilderness, out of the realm of battle. See, the wilderness, what's the wilderness? Out of the realm of battle. One reason they're not going to go up into, if it is Petra, wherever it is, and drop all these bombs, it's out of the field of battle. He's going to be too distracted by the Gog of Magog up in Russia. He's going to be too distracted by what's going on in Egypt to be chasing a bunch of Jews who are running to the wilderness. The wilderness is not the place of battle. It gives you a hint. You want to live somewhere safely? Go to the wilderness. See? It's no place of battle. So that's why the wilderness. Into the wilderness. Where she, fleeing Israelites, had a place. This is beautiful. Present tense, though. Echo. To have. Has a place. This is correct translation of the present tense. This place is already there when John wrote these words and when Christ wrote them. It's already there. At the time of John's writing of Revelation, around 100 AD 100, she has this place prepared by God. It's already there. The love of God, the wisdom of God, has already prepared. The perfect passive participle of the Greek word. And if you don't think this is important to you, think again. This is the same verb in John 14:6. I go to prepare a place for you. People, your place is already prepared. What's Christ doing up there? He's not up there sleeping. He's preparing a place for you. Preparing a place for me. He's preparing our place that we will live for all eternity. When that dear woman that reared me was dying, and she looked up at me dying, she said, this is not living. I can't take care of myself. I can't control my body. Why didn't he take me home? And I just looked at her and I said, Mom, it's your own fault. She looked up. I said, you're so particular about your garden that Jesus Christ has to make sure your garden looks good. She didn't buy it. She gave me that look like, I'm not buying that. But people, he's preparing a place for you. And so if it's important to you and me, it's important to the Jews. I go to prepare a place for you. Here's the grace of God. Here's the love of God. This is what love does. Love, what does love do? What do we see? Love observes. The first thing about love, it observes, it sees a need, and then it meets that need. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He saw a need of the world. And the only thing that would meet that need is the sacrifice of His own Son on the cross, and He gave it. That's what kind of God you have. Don't ever be fearful of Him. He sees a need, and He meets that need. So you have a place prepared by Jesus Christ for you for all eternity. Now, this is what His love does for you. Comfort over His absence and comfort related to your death. No fear, peace, assurance. This is what kind of God our God is. You never have to be in fear, people, about your death or death of any believer. No fear at all. There's a peace, there's assurance. Your God has given it to you. This is what His love does for His people. And remember, this is what your love will act like under the filling of the Holy Spirit toward other people. All right, Revelation 12:6. She has a place prepared. What is important here is the tense, the perfect tense, present result of a past action. The past action, prepared. Present result, it's there. It's there right now. God has prepared this place centuries ago. With the present result, when it's time for Israel to flee for safety from the dragon serpent, it's there. It's already there. Provisions are already there. The passive voice is the voice of grace. This place receives being prepared by God. Food, shelter, clothing, everything they'll need for 3.5 years, it's all there. How's He going to do that? Hey, people, have you forgotten what happened in the wilderness? Manna came out of heaven. If you believe that, don't have any trouble believing how God's going to feed and take care of them and water them in Petra or wherever it is. That's your God. That's why you have these stories in the Old Testament. Hey, it was no problem for Him. He just dropped popcorn down from heaven. Hey, that's what I used to call popcorn, my manna. And that's what He did. So He's going to do it at Petra. All right. So that. Here's why God has prepared this place. So that. There. The place He has prepared. She might be nourished for 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Nourished means food, water, sheltering, clothing. Nourished. Taken care of. All right, this is why they do not need to go and pack anything for leaving Jerusalem. You don't need to go gather up a suitcase full of stuff. You don't need to grab your weapons. You don't need to grab baby diapers. You don't need to grab food. Yeah, but they may not have my favorite food there. Forget it. The food He'll have for you is perfect. Don't worry about it. So this is why they don't have to go and prepare all of these things. This is what our God is like. Always remember, what kind of God do you believe in? What is your view of God? This is the biblical view of God. These tenses have caused some difficulty for some teachers. But if we just see what is going on in the development of these tenses, the woman fled into the wilderness, aorist tense, point in the middle of the tribulation, where she has a place, present tense. God already has it there, prepared by God. Perfect passive, the present result of a past action. In the past, He prepared the place. The present, it's there. God has prepared this place centuries ago. With the present result, when it's time for Israel to flee for safety from the dragon serpent, it's there. It's there. I should have added that and said it will be there. It's there. It's already there. Passive voice, This place receives being prepared for Israel by God. Why hasn't anyone moved into this spectacular place? God's got it prepared for Israel. It's already prepared and set aside for them, where the Jews should flee. So, let's take a look at this city as prepared by God. If we're on the right track, James put in a little map for you. If you look down there, you see Petra, and just north and a little bit east is Bozra. It can be one of those two places or someplace else. I'm not going to argue and battle where it is. An abandoned city, Petra, abandoned city that was carved into the rocks these mountains centuries ago. You should be familiar with this name and what it means. Petra, rock. Matthew 16:18, Jesus Christ said to Peter, Petros, upon this rock. Petra. All right. It has the security of only one entrance, many caves by, and I'm just talking, this could be it, this is the kind of thing, wherever it is, it's going to be like this. It has security of only one entrance and many caves for the Jews to hide and live in for safety, and they will be secure for 3.5 years of the tribulation. The ancient city of Petra lies in the mountainous area 20 miles south of the Dead Sea in the country of Jordan. You go over there, sometimes you're able to go from Israel into Petra, sometimes you're not. It's depending on what the circumstances are of Jordan at that time. The mountains of Petra are red and white sandstone, volcanic crater. This is the area where the Edomites lived about circa 500 B.C. and was the Edomites who carved houses, businesses, and of course temples directly out of rock. Petra is known by many names in the Bible. Selah in 2 Kings 14:7, and we saw that Hebrew Selah means rock, firm, solid, elevated, fortress, stronghold. All of those come from the meaning of Selah. Excellent names for a place prepared by God for His people. The city, deserted for centuries, and is still today difficult to reach because of the narrow passages leading to the city. That's why you want to pray that you're not pregnant. Pray that you're not with a child. It's going to be a rough road up there. You're not going to be able to drive your nice Lexus up into their area. It's going to be rough getting there. You get there, I've already prepared everything for you. Which, of course, makes it a perfect place to hide and guard against invasion. Others believe it will be in an uncertain place called Bozra. But whether Petra, Bozra, or some other place, it's already prepared by God. Let's take a look at what's going to happen. Isaiah 33:1-24. You can read. Jane said, can I put in the whole chapter? Oh, well, let's just let them open up their own Bible. And we already have enough pages on this one anyway. All right. But first, let's look at the context of Isaiah 33. This section of Isaiah is of the prophecies concerning the day of the Lord and the judgments and blessings. As the enemies of the Jews approach Jerusalem, God delivers. Isaiah 33, verses 16 and 17. He will dwell on the heights. Okay, just who is being talked about here? If we're on the right track, this is a reference to those Jews who will listen to the word of prophecy, the word of Daniel and the word of Jesus Christ. Abomination is set up in the temple, will listen, and they'll move out of Jerusalem and head to the mountains. He, the Jews who listen, will dwell on the heights, reference to the mountains. His refuge from disaster will be the impregnable rock. This is a perfect description of what Petra, or some people, Bozra. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. I've already taken care of it. People, don't ever doubt your God. I'm talking about even now in your needs. Don't worry. Oh, well, where am I going to eat tomorrow? Don't worry about it. He's got it all prepared. And if there's no food and you die of starvation, which no one has a promise you won't. I like the way people throw around promises of God. No one has a promise from God you won't starve to death. He's just taking you home. Big deal. Big deal. Take you home. Yes, I would have liked to have had some Bluebell ice cream before, but that's all right. Take you home. Okay? Now, it says, his bread will be given him, his water will be sure. No, these are future tenses. The place is there, present tense, but but we do not need to go there and store up. Oh, and the reason I put that in is store up K rations. There are Christians who want to go and put up food in Petra. They want to hide a bunch of boxes of K rations. Don't do that. K rations are pitiful. I've eaten them. I've eaten them in the rain and all that. Traded everything away. If somebody had the little fruit can, I wanted that. I'll give you meat. I'll give you bread. I'll give you everything. Just let me have that. It's the only thing that was good in that box. See? Don't do that. What God is going to give them is great. Great food. God will supply both food and water, and I'll guarantee you it'll be reverse osmosis water. It'll be very good. Okay, while we're here, let's know what is also being said for eyes that will see. Their refuge will be the impregnable rock. Okay, who is the impregnable rock of history? Jesus Christ. What is the bread we live on? The Word of God. Who is analogous to the springs of water? The Holy Spirit. People, you got a whole mail. I could spend an hour right there. God's got everything taken care of. All three members of the Godhead are involved in delivering the Jews. He will dwell on the heights, reference to the mountains. His refuge from disaster will be the impregnable rock, Basra, Petra. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. The second half of the tribulation, and if you have any trouble with God supplying the bread, just remember he supplied the Jews manna, which was wonderful. So this is just wonderful things going on. While the world is in chaos out there, killing each other, killing everybody, all this is going on, they're just sitting back there in Petra, wherever it is, and just eating, drinking, praying, worshiping God. It's going to be wonderful. All right, 17. Your eyes will see the King in His beauty. Okay, this is a problem. Whose eyes? The eyes of those who have fled from Judah to Basra or Petra or wherever it is. Who is the King? Jesus Christ in the second advent. Only this time He will come not as a suffering servant, but as Savior. Not as a Savior, but as a conquering King. They will behold a far distant land. What land is this? What's going on here? Okay, try to make this simple for you. If you have any problem, raise your hand. The abomination of desolation in the middle of the tribulation. Then they flee. They're fed and watered and protected for some 3.5 years. Then Messiah King comes. And he comes to these Jews hiding and leads them safely out. As they come out of the mountain strongholds, they will look down on the land of Judah without any enemies present. Next, let's turn to one of the most powerful verses on the invasion, the fleeing and coming of the Lord and the defeat of the enemy. Isaiah 34:6. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is sated with fat. This is the killing of the enemy at the second advent. With the blood of lambs and goats. With the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Basra and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this who comes from Edom? With the garments of glowing colors from Basra. This one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save or to deliver. It is easy to determine just who this majestic one is. It is the Messiah. And he comes out of Edom. Why out of Edom? If we're on the right track, that the sheep of Jerusalem, Judah flee to Edom in the middle of the tribulation, this is easy to understand how the Messiah will come out of Edom. He will go to the remnant in Edom, be it Basra, Petra, or some other place, and lead them out at the end of the tribulation. This is what is described in Isaiah 63:1. Who is this who comes out of Edom Why out of Edom? That's in northern Jordan, where Petra and Basra are. Comes out of Edom with garments of glowing colors from Basra. This one who is majestic in his apparel. This is Jesus Christ the Messiah, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak righteousness, mighty to save and deliver. And then Micah chapter 2, verse 12. I, God, will surely, God is going to do this in the mid-tribulation, assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. This remnant of Israel includes those who flee from Judah in the middle of the tribulation and to the mountains of Basra, Petra, and Edom. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with or because of men. In other words, they're singing and their joy. Okay, this takes us from Matthew 24, verse 15 through 20 through 19, and next Sunday we'll take up the rest of Jesus Christ's description of after the middle of the tribulation of what's going on. These are the teaching of Jesus Christ. It puts all together so many passages, pulls in, as we've seen with Isaiah, Micah, all these passages. We just see how phenomenal our God is. And people, a God like this is a God you can trust. You trusted Him with your eternal salvation, trust Him with your daily life. Don't worry about it. Trust Him. Walk in His Word. Be led of His Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Trust Him. He will take care. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. So much. But you know, Heavenly Father, what we've learned about is what kind of God You are. That's fundamentally what we've learned. Oh, we learned about the middle of tribulation. We've learned about the Antichrist. We've learned about the Jews knowing Daniel. Oh, Father, what we really learned about and we stand in awe of is what manner of God You are. You see the needs before they ever arise and You prepare for them in our own lives. Today, we trust You. Passages like this that we're studying, Father, just calls us to just bow our head in shame if we've ever doubted, and to know that we can just trust You. It's what kind of God our God is. Father, we praise You for the God You are. Of course, Father, we praise You what You're going to do for the Jews, for Jerusalem, for Israel. But Father, we just praise You and thank You for what You're doing for us and in us and with us in our daily lives. Father, I pray that You take the things we've seen this morning, have them become a reality in our lives and in our souls, have an impact in how we live each day, how we look at life, not holding on to anything, trusting You for everything. Father, we praise You in Christ's name. Amen.